Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
So check it out. The blog that I write, chicagonow.com/Steve Dale. It's unbelievable. It seems like just yesterday, but it was 20 years ago that my national newspaper column began, and I offer some highlights for me of that newspaper column. It was hard to fit it in. I mean, my newspaper column is supposed to be about 800 words, maybe less, and it was a bit more than that. But on the blog, you can do whatever you want. So I added a bit more to the blog post, another 300 or 400 words. But I'll tell you, I could have written 200,000 pages because after all, it's been 20 years. It's not anywhere near 200,000 pages. But check it out if you'd like, chicagonow.com/Steve Dale. And I'll tell you, if nothing else, I realized after I was done writing all those words, boy, I love my job. One of the jobs I have is to work on the radio here. It's been 18 years, actually, on WGN Radio. And a frequent guest over the years is sitting across the table from me now, Dr. Donna Alexander, who is the Chief Administrator of Veterinary Medicine for the County of Cook. I don't know if I have the title quite right. I hope I'm close enough, Dr. Alexander.
Administrator for Cook County Animal and Rabies Control.
Well, no, you're in charge of the world for Cook County, I think, or at least in charge of all our animals. And there is so much that I want to talk to you about. First of all, so people understand what you do, what would that be?
Oh, everything.
Pretty much.
But what we do mostly is we make sure that all of the animals in Cook County are vaccinated and registered against rabies. That is our most important thing. The next aspect of our job is to educate the public as to different animal diseases and pet responsible care. Mm-hmm. That's one of our parts of our job that people don't understand about. We also have to deal with the unfortunate things of life, like taking care of animals after evictions, abandonment, animals that are left as strays in the Cook County Forest Preserve District, animals that are in hoarding situations that is actually a form of animal abuse. And that's what we are dealing with. But we
And do you also, are you responsible for saying this person ought to be charged with?
Yes, we are. We are responsible for the prosecution of not only animal abusers, but for people who do not comply with the rabies observation after a bite occurs. And that takes up a large portion of our time. There are probably about 5,000 bites in Cook County every year, and every single one of those bites has to be processed so that we make sure that they either comply or they are prosecuted for noncompliance.
And 5,000 bites, you mean 5,000 bites from whom to whom?
It would be from companion animal to companion animal or companion animal to human. The ones that get the most publicity are the companion animal to human. However, you have to really consider the dynamics of the companion animal to a companion animal. If the first companion animal is not vaccinated against rabies and bites another companion animal, you cannot just let that companion animal sit without having a rabies observation because you put the other companion animal back in its home with people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to come down with rabies and therefore infect its family.
So I want to talk a little about that. We don't talk, I don't believe enough about rabies because we watch maybe old movies and we think that's where rabies happened. And that, like those werewolf movies, that's what it was all based on, I think, right?
Yes.
But we don't think it occurs today because we don't hear about it very often. Rabies doesn't occur a lot in the U.S., but in the world, it does. And explain all that to me.
Well, rabies is the fifth largest infectious disease in the world in terms of fatalities.
And when I said doesn't occur, see, it's all wording. When I said it doesn't occur a lot, you made kind of a face. And I know why. So explain the bigger picture.
The bigger picture is that when people say that it does not occur in the United States, it does occur in the United States. We have got a wildlife reservoir of rabies, which mostly occurs in bats in our area, but is occurring in skunks, is occurring in foxes, and is occurring in other carnivores. So we know about what's going on with raccoons on the East Coast. But for example, in Eddy and Monroe County in Texas, they had so many skunks that were positive for rabies that they ended up having to put to sleep 64 dogs in the United States. So this is occurring. We had the dog that flew in with the soldier from Afghanistan and turned up in the quarantine in Newark, New Jersey, positive for rabies.
Which is tragic because these dogs that come back with soldiers are so connected to the soldiers, these military working dogs. And part of the problem is that in other parts of the world, including the Middle East, people are not vaccinating animals. And therefore, by animals in this case, I mean our companion animals, if unvaccinated, they're likely to get it. And the thing about rabies that we left out that both of us are assuming, but people may not know, is we are as susceptible as our dogs and cats.
Yes. And the more important thing is that the reason why we don't see as much rabies in the United States is because we do have such an aggressive vaccination program and such an aggressive quarantine program after an animal is bitten. So these are the things that are protecting. But I also want to point out because we just had a situation that occurred last week. People ask me, why should my housebound cat have to be vaccinated against rabies? And I say, because that the most important source of rabies in the United States, in Illinois, is the small brown bat. A small brown bat is about the size of your thumbnail, and it can get into areas as small as 1/8 of an inch. And this poor woman, whose cat was a housebound cat, was not up to date on its rabies shot. The cat did what cats do, saw a bat, thought it was a mouse, picked it up, yeah, brought it to her, and yeah, it was positive for rabies.
The bat.
The bat was positive, mm-hmm, for rabies, but the cat had been exposed.
So what do you do under those circumstances? And this isn't what Donna Alexander, the veterinarian sitting across from me, feels is right to do necessarily. You might, but it's also law, and that's why you do it.
It's absolutely the law. In this particular case, the cat had been exposed to the rabies vaccine prior to this time. It was just overdue.
Ah,
so
okay,
giving that cat a booster saved the cat's life.
And if the cat had not been vaccinated, as many people don't, it's the law, but you do not go banging house to house on every door in Cook County in high rises saying, let me turn the cat upside down to see if the cat is vaccinated. Let's check the titer. You don't do that. So
no, but what
people don't, and they get away with it. But let's say this woman had never vaccinated ever her cat.
CDC recommendations, and we have to follow them, are that the cat's, if it's one or two cats in the household, have to be euthanized.
Yeah, so you simply save your cat's life, potentially. And now, yeah, it's not likely to happen to you, but as Dr. Alexander said, it happens to someone, and you're kind of taking that chance. Let me ask you another question related to it. In fact, we have to take a break here. I have a phone call or two I want to get to. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. There's so much I want to talk to you about. One is microchipping, because you're about to do something we are going to celebrate. Hooray! But in addition to that, I want to talk to you more about vaccines, because there are so many misconceptions, I think, about vaccines. And there's something going around that hasn't not been talked about in the media. A flu-like or influenza or Bordetella or kennel cough type thing. I'm not sure you know what it is, but we'll talk about what we do know so we can protect our dogs. All coming up here on WGN Steve Dale's Pet World. It is 6:46 on a Sunday morning. It is 6:50 on WGN Radio. We have a couple of phone calls. I'll see what I can get to here. First on the radio, it is, I can't see your name. Jean, good morning. How are you? Joanne, sorry.
Hi. Yeah, I have a question. I adopted a cat last July. She's right now about 3 years old, and yesterday I brought her to the vet for her rabies and distemper and general checkup and everything. And he, you know, looked at her gums, which I never thought to do, and they are kind of red and inflamed, and so she's got some kind of gingivitis type of a thing. So he's talking about, you know, depending on what's causing this, need to take some blood work and everything. We'll get the results next week. But he's saying that possibly extracting all of her teeth, and I'm thinking she's only 3 years old.
Joanne, did he, before Dr. Alexander answers, did he use the word stomatitis by any chance? Okay.
No.
Okay, Dr. Alexander.
Well, he may have just given you the worst case scenario when he could have given you the best case scenario. But, It happens in any cat, no matter what age. You have to really watch out for their teeth. And gingivitis is serious because it can cause bacterial endocarditis, which is an inflammation of the valves of the heart. So, so it's something that you should have dentistry, and your doctor is saying that he wants to take some blood work to make sure that your cat's liver and kidneys are functioning properly to undergo the anesthesia that is required to do the dentistry. Now, there may be some teeth that need to be removed, but probably not all of the teeth need to be removed. But I've not seen the cat, so I don't know how much tartar buildup there is.
He said that it didn't look like there was any tartar. He said that there could be plaque, though, which you can't necessarily see.
Well, there is plaque that he can see and be able to remove, but he needs to see exactly what's going on in there and determine what the cause of the gingivitis is.
He did mention that one thing that he was going to test for was, it starts with a B, I don't have that thing, it's like a bacterial thing or something, I don't know, I have to go, I don't have the paper in front of me. So probably cleaning might be a help?
Absolutely.
He would do it? Okay.
Absolutely. And like I said, he may have been giving you the worst case scenario and the best case scenario. But what he needs to do is first find out about the general health of your animal and then use anesthesia to go in there and do the cleanup.
Okay. I'm just wondering how, because I adopted her in July, so it's been less than a year. And when I first adopted her, I did take her in for a general checkup and everything, like the day after I adopted her, and they checked everything and everything checked out fine. So how in just 8 months would this have happened?
Well, a lot of things can happen. Unlike dogs, which have a tendency of chewing on things like those dental bones, and people will even clean their dog's teeth. Most cats don't tolerate that very well.
Right.
Well, they could, but a whole other story.
Yes, they could, and that's something that you should probably research with your veterinarian about how is best to keep your cat's teeth clean from now on out to prevent this kind of thing from
happening. See, the problem is we're just here on the radio. We can't see your cat's teeth, but I do know this. I mean, we just had one of our cat's tooth extracted. It happens, you know, even with the best possible care. They have very small mouths. And the other thing, thank you very much. It's Joanne. Thank you very much for the call, Joanne. We can't see the pet from here, so we don't know. But, yeah, dental problems are really common in cats. Want to talk a little more about a lot of topics with you, and we don't have much time. So I want to talk about microchipping first. You're about to have a microchip celebration for the entire area. Explain what this is about.
Well, first of all, we're going to have our low-cost rabies clinics for the entire area. We'll have 40 locations where we have the low-cost rabies clinics. This year, we've separated out the microchips from the rabies. And this is so that we could spend individual time with people explaining how the microchips have to be registered with the national company in order for you to get complete protection.
So a microchip is a little chip. It's about the size of a grain of rice. But unless, and there's readers that read the chip. So if your dog or cats should be microchipped too, gets out of the house and it lands at animal care and control by law or any facility They have to scan the pet to see if it's microchipped. They can see if it's microchipped, but unless the information is in the database about who you are, it is like what I describe, it's like having a cell phone without having a cell phone number.
Absolutely. And here's the problem with not registering with the national company, is that if there should be a disaster and our lines are down, even though we keep your microchip information in our database, if our lines go down because there's a disaster that happens in Chicago or Bridgeview or any place in Cook County, then the only way that a person could identify it is if you are talking to the national company. The national company runs 24 hours a day. So we are going to take the time with each individual as they get their microchip to make sure that they are registered properly.
Is there a way, people, because we can't go through all 40 locations here. I'll eventually, when you're ready, I'll put them up on my blog. I'm happy to do that. And that again is chicagonow.com/Steve Dale. But is there a website people can go to also see these?
www.cookcountygov.com.
Okay, I'll put that up on a link to the podcast to this radio show as well. This radio show is Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. Dr. Alexander, thank you so much for coming. I'm sorry we ran out of time so fast. I don't know. You also not are only in control of our county's animals, but the clock. You made it run too fast. I don't know how that happened. She will be back on this show. She is very good on this show. And she's sitting right here listening to me saying this as if she wasn't here. So, Dr. Alexander, you are terrific. Thank you so much. And I'll tell you, we are lucky to have you in Cook County.
Thank you very much.